as it is recounted by Matthew the Apostle, this is the dynamic. We go right from our Lord saying to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John," to saying to Peter, "Vade, Satane, get behind me, Satan." Going from blessed to being the enemy in just a matter of minutes, or for our timeline, in a week. And so our Lord spells out the problem. Peter is the first pope. He has access to grace that no other has, and yet here he is. His first action is to take the Christ aside and to lecture Christ on what should and should not be done in accord with the will of God. Because he says to our Lord, "God forbid that this should ever happen to you." And this, of course, is the will of God the Father. And Jesus Christ is the God-man, God the Son incarnate. And God the Holy Spirit is working with the first pope. But this is what happens when our minds are controlled by our worldly thinking instead of heavenly. Thinking, as Jesus puts it, as men do instead of as God does. And therein lies the problem. Far more common today, one can understand why Peter might take the liberty of doing this, since he is the Prince of the Apostles. They were already deferring to him, and now even more so. But nowadays, even the most uneducated Catholic in the pew will decide morality for himself and completely ignore the church. Paul VI spells out in Humanae Vitae the reality that contraception is intrinsically evil and has no justification. We have far fewer Catholic schools. Why? Because Catholics started contracepting like the pagans. And they did this of their own accord. Or they'd go out of the way to find a priest that they knew would agree with them. But they actually believe this isn't a problem. And of course, the great difficulty for them will be getting to heaven, because if you do not think something is a sin, what are the chances you'll repent of it before you die? If you think contraception is not a sin, you're that kind of Catholic, what are the chances you're going to be contrite for that before you die? No souls go to hell by accident. Souls that have unrepentant mortal sin, which means they have no sanctifying grace, which means they are not holy, which means they can go nowhere near God, not because God is so mean and nasty, but because God is God. He's all good. He's all holy. Therefore, evil, that which is unholy, cannot be in his presence. The whole reason why he created hell, for the fallen angels and men choose to go there of their own volition. No one falls into hell by accident. That's the great danger of thinking as men do, because it's always going to be the easy route. The Messiah, the prophecies of the Messiah that are seen in the Old Testament are abundantly clear with regards to his power, with regards to how God will be glorified through him. But Isaiah in particular is clear about the suffering servant, about the land that is being led to slaughter, the land that does not utter a sound. And yet the Jews at this time all believed that the Messiah was going to be a military conqueror, a man of power, and he was going to make the Jews the kings of the world, overturn the Roman Empire, overturn all of the enemies of Judah, and then put the Jews on top of the world. They believed in a worldly Messiah, not a spiritual one. Hence, they hated Christ because Christ was the Messiah, but not the one they wanted. And our Lord makes it abundantly clear when he tells Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." Because this world is transitory. This world has been unraveling ever since our Lord ascended. And it is going to be destroyed by God himself by fire to purify it for the joining of the new heaven and the new earth, with the church being at the center. That's right, the Roman Catholic Church being at the center. Despite all those who hate her, and most of the people that hate the church are within the church, Right now, they're at the highest levels of the church. They have an absolute hatred for the church. And they're working for the enemy by thinking as men do, by creating an easy route. It was too hard for Peter to accept because he loved the Lord and he had been raised to believe because that's how the rabbis were teaching in accord with the mindset of the scribes and Pharisees that said the Messiah is going to be a man of power and glory and he's going to conquer the world. But it was too much for Peter out of love for Christ and out of his own education to believe that Christ would have to suffer the most ignominious death in human history. He couldn't believe that. Because it would require something that he was not capable of doing at that time in his will. And that is the essence of the Catholic life. Self-sacrifice. Jesus says, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, most modern people believe, because of the Protestant heretics, that all you have to do is believe in Christ, and then you go to heaven. Our Lord says very clearly here that when the Son of Man returns with his angels in his Father's glory, he will repay all according to his conduct. He doesn't say, I'll repay them all according to their beliefs and their belief system. He says their conduct, by what they do, not what they said they believed, not what they intended to believe, or not what even they intended to do, but what they actually do. And so the essence of the Catholic life is self-denial, which means caritas, charity. And it begins always with God. It begins always with God. The charity, the devotion, the piety that we owe God. Because he is charity himself. Deus caritas est. God is charity, or in modern translation, God is love. But see, love is such a bad word for our purposes now because people use it to justify innumerable sins. And love is always seen as passive now. I just want to sit and feel love. Or I fall in love. As though there was no choice. As though it's like a vicious trap. Well, yes, to concupiscence it is. As I keep telling you, love and concupiscence is a clingy, binding, trapping thing. Whereas authentic love is liberating. It's free. It ennobles. It engenders courage. And so therefore, caritas works better because charity implies an act of the will. One has to be willfully charitable. This is the essence of the Catholic life, charity. To God first, then to neighbor. Deny oneself. The whole point of the Jewish religion had come to what God owes them by virtue of what they do to fulfill their requirements. That's why our Lord called the chief priests and scribes and Pharisees sons of Satan. That's why he told them, you think you will find salvation in the scriptures, but you will not. Because you only find salvation in Jesus Christ. They believe God owed them salvation because they met the formula. They met the requirements. Too many Catholics think the same way. Too many Catholics come here every Sunday, punch their time card, and then their conduct does not in any way, shape, or form reflect that they are even Roman Catholic at all. When a Catholic layman, his whole life is supposed to be as an ambassador of Christ in the world, so that when those who are not Catholics see that Catholic layman in his workplace, they know he's different. And he's not different because he's self-righteous. He's not different because he thinks he's better. He's different because he looks like Jesus Christ. He acts like Jesus Christ, which is what makes him look like Jesus Christ. They see something so different about his behavior. He's honest, not dishonest. He is true to his work, not looking for a shortcut or cheating his employer out of time. He's diligent in his work. But he's not a money chaser, because he knows God is God, not money. Therefore, they notice he has a balance. They notice that he has a cutoff point. They notice he has a family. And he has more than 1.2 children because he didn't contracept. And he's actually more concerned about his family, his family's life, than he is about work. Sometimes the employers don't like that. But those who are looking for goodness, truth, and beauty will see it reflected in the Catholic layman in the workplace. That's part of the essence of charity that Catholic laymen need to get back in touch with. And the reality that it is most charitable to be a witness to Christ in the world, to draw others to Christ by a life lived differently. Yes, charity should be in place when you're helping those who are in need, but oftentimes we forget the desperate spiritual need of those who do not know Christ, and yet are required to. As Peter spells it out, there is no other name by which any man can be saved except the name of Jesus. And so a most charitable Catholic layman is living a life that reflects Christ, and he's not going to be the arbiter of God's grace, deciding where it's applied and where it isn't, who's worth saving and who's not. He simply lives a life of goodness, truth, and beauty, knowing that it will be God who works through him. It will be God who makes him an instrument, and he may never even know it. Because once he steps in and tries to decide for himself who should be saved and who should be converted, his pride, God resists the pride. Well, there are times when one can recognize prudentially that this is an opportunity to share the good news, but that usually implies some degree of rapport and some degree of mutual understanding. Otherwise, one has to be prudent and not throw their pearls to the swine. But it's that silent instrumentality that every Catholic layman should be striving for, where it is God who uses him as an instrument of grace, and again, without him perhaps even knowing it, without him even knowing how many souls were brought to Christ because he lived a life of goodness, truth, and beauty, a life that reflected God who is all good, all truth, all beauty. It's real charity to care about the souls of others, even complete strangers. It's hard enough to care for the souls of those you love, because sometimes you have family members who reject the faith. Yes, you have more responsibility to engage them, and so you should, but for those you don't know, perhaps it would be more opportune to be more conscious of that, more conscious of the basic charity that comes from living a life as Christ calls you to. And that really does take self-denial. It's much easier to go along to get along. It's much easier to disappear in the crowd. It's much easier to laugh at the dirty jokes when people tell them, to use foul language to fit in with the people using foul language, to gossip to fit in with the people that are gossiping, to complain about the bosses to the people that are complaining about the bosses. It's so much easier to do that. But our Lord says, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We might be too highfalutin in our thinking and are looking at this as though we're all going to be martyrs and actually carry a cross and be taken to Calvary Hill. No. That's not going to be the case for all. For some, it will be. But essentially, it means just that. Where you deny yourself where it would have been easier to fit in. It would have been easier to do and speak and act like everyone else around you. That's why it's a cross to deny yourself. To think of the other before you think of yourself, that's essentially what it means. First, by thinking of God and serving God and pleasing God first. And that's why the essence of our Catholic life is being here, because the only one who can adequately worship God the Father is God the Son, who is the principal actor at every Mass through the priest, and who is the priest, the altar, and the sacrifice himself, and the only one that can appease God's anger and bring down graces to us. That's the first charity. But the second one is with regards to our neighbor, our state in life. You who are married, your husbands to your wives first, wives to your husbands first, and then your children after your husband and after your wife. And then for the workplace, for the husband. Where real opportunities for grace come if he chooses, again, to deny himself and live a life of goodness, truth, and beauty in the midst of all of the evil and all of the lies and all of the ugliness that surrounds us. Because there are hapless souls who are floating in the currents of all the chaos of the devil, who are desperate because they know this isn't right and they're going with the current. But they're desperate for someone who is not in the current of evil, but is on the shore and is giving witness to Christ Jesus on the shore, which gives those poor souls that know there's something better the impetus to swim out of the evil and go to the shore, where they will find the Christ. But only if Catholic laymen are actually being those witnesses. Only Catholic laymen are actually ambassadors for Christ in the world. And only if they're actually doing it so that when the hapless soul sees them, they're drawn to Christ Jesus, not to that individual person. That takes real self-denial, doesn't it? And that really is a cross when those who love evil are mad at you for not using foul language, or you correcting them when they take the Lord's name in vain, who are mad at you because you will not gossip about some coworker, who are mad at you because you will not attack the bosses or the management along with them. They'll be angry with you. And that's a real cross. That's suffering, a form of it. But why should we be surprised? What did our Lord say? The world will hate you because it hated me first. What did St. John say in his first letter? The world loves its own, but the world hates those who are of Christ. It's a real sacrifice for a layman to truly be an ambassador of Christ in the world, to put Christ before his work, to see his work as an opportunity for Christ to be known, to be honest in his work, to be devoted to his employer so he's never stealing from them, but always, because of God, he will do that good job. And always because he wants to please God, he'll do that good job. Not for chasing money. Not for chasing glamour. Not for chasing compliments. But for the sake of the fact that it is good. That it is true. And that it is beautiful. Remember, our Lord makes it abundantly clear. He's not going to judge us by what we said we wanted to do. He's not going to judge us by what we say we believe. He's going to judge us by what we actually did. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.